Greetings to all of you. My husband and I were just trying to figure out when was the last time we were with you all. It's got to be at least 3 years, but it's great to be back with you and to see all of you here again. For those of you who don't know who we are, by the way, we do love your pastors, Julian and Tiffany. Great folks. We've got to know them almost, I'd say, within 6 months after coming out here to Sacramento. We are church planters from the Las Vegas area, and being here in this school brings back some memories. And we want to say bless you, those who are helping with the setup and the tear down. You are commended, and just keep up the good work. God will bless you for it, and we'll be praying for great things to happen here at Renaissance Church. Just a little bit about what we do. Robert and I have been traveling throughout this district for the last 6 years now, and our primary role is really to be Barnabas's. If you know who he was in the scriptures, he was an encourager. And many times our pastors fall upon challenging times and situations, and a lot of our pastors are actually in fairly isolated and rural areas. And so we come alongside, we encourage them, we try to spend time one-on-one, hearing their hearts and sharing with them in prayer. And so the other part of our role is to help them develop as persons, if you will, grow in their faith and grow in who they are as leaders. And so leadership development is part of our role as well. And so we do different types of training. Our key is healthy pastor, healthy church. That's the motto that we go under. And it's been a joy. It's an awesome job, a big one. We have 455 churches and over 1,500 ministers in the Northern California, Nevada district. And you are part of that. Yes. So we are privileged to be here, and you'll just hear more as we get go along today. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, dear. Yeah, that's my best buddy in the whole world. I love my wife deeply. I appreciate her. And I'm glad that we were remembering. I'm a flag waver. And so thank God for those who are out there right now and those who've gone on. You know, it's a privilege anytime you step into the holy place to preach and to share the word of God. And I don't take it lightly. I do thank Pastor Julian and his precious wife for asking us to come. And I was just thinking about as we were worshiping some of the songs we were talking about, and freeing and healing, I'm coming to tell you about that. Our God is absolutely real. Not some ethereal God like, no, but he is really real. Because I was a drug addict in Vegas, hopelessly addicted. And when I came here a few years ago, I talked about my testimony, but I never forget where God has brought me from. And he is an awesome God. And I've been free for so many years, I never take it for granted. I take one day at a time. But I do want to just acknowledge that who Jesus is. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And right now, we need him more than we ever have. And today, I just want to pray a little bit and just thank you for the opportunity for being here. Lord, you're so awesome. We've praised you. We've worshiped you. A bit. Our whole life is to do that every day. But I personally want to thank you for the blessed man that I am. So lost, so far gone. Yet while I was in my sin, Lord, you reached out and you rescued me and you healed me and you gave me a place, Lord, to share your good word. And here I am, Lord. Thank you. Pray for Pastor Julian and Tiffany, wherever they may be. Give them traveling mercies and meet them, Lord, right where they are. Come, Holy Spirit, into their lives and continue to refresh them and renew them. And thank you for this church, Lord. This is an awesome church, and we're excited about their future because you're actually the head of the church, and that's one thing we can really depend on. And we just ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. I couldn't help but think about when I came up here that we met in a school several times. We planted two churches. And I remember my main man. But by the way, before I do that, how many people here were at 7 this morning? Raise your hand. How many were here helping set up? Now, these are the heroes in this place to me. Come on. It's so nice. You got lights and all these different things. You know, they just didn't happen to be here. Someone brought them here. But I remember coming in, and my associate, he's about 6'4", weighs 315, and he says, "Hey, Pastor Douglas, they're striping the parking lot right now. We can't use it." And I thought, oh, my gosh. Of course, the school never told us. And I said, first thing I said is, "How big is the guy on the striping machine?" He says, "I'm a bit bigger." I said, "Well, go over there and talk to him friendly, and then if you don't, just threaten him just a bit." So that guy took an hour, 2 hour break, and we went in there. The next time we went there, they're having a dog show in the front of our place. And we had nothing against dogs. I mean, it was just like we had no place to park and had to reroute our people. So all those little bit of challenges, how I appreciate people that meet in schools. But God met us in those schools. People got saved, healed, delivered, and directed all over the world. So it doesn't matter where we meet, you know, because he's in our presence, right? And I felt that during worship. Thank you, worship team. Today I want to talk about passing generational batons. And part of that is I've had a distinct privilege of probably doing well over 100 funerals in my life as a minister. And I was greatly impacted by Pastor Glenn Cole. I don't know if many of you knew who he was or where was at that funeral. But just the impact that he left, a legacy. And I feel that all of us leave a legacy. You don't have to die to leave a legacy. You're leaving one right now in who you are. And believe it or not, I used to run track in high school. And I ran the 100-yard dash, and then I ran the 200, and then the relays. And it was just absolutely outstanding running the relays, because when you had a baton, you had to place it in somebody's hand perfectly, running at full speed in order to go on. Any other track runners in this place? Come on, there you are. I felt it. And so you understand how important this thing is. And so I feel like that in putting together this message that we have some batons that we pass on. And the first person I want to talk about today is my grandfather. And he taught me the whole aspect, the next slide, please, is the baton of integrity. And it was passed on to me by him. He was just kind of a laborer, worked in the sawmills. And he said, my word is my bond. When you gave your word, you follow it through. And it's worked from generation to generation for me. And I just think today we need to kind of relook at that whole aspect of, integrity. A good name is to be desired more than riches. Favor is better than silver and gold. Hey, look at that hat. Isn't he looking good? My grandfather was from Vermont, and just a great man. About 6'1", had red hair. And he had hands that were so big in the old days, he couldn't even dial a phone. He had to put a pencil in it because he's just a hardworking guy. But I loved who he was just because of what he left to us in our generations. And in his day, they didn't make contracts. You shook on it. And when you shook on it, you followed it through. Seems like things were a little bit easier then, weren't they? Look at the contracts we have to do now, just like even buying a car. Anyhow, but the next verse I want to look at is out of Proverbs. It says, "The man of integrity walks securely, but who takes a crooked path will be found out." You know, the word integrity in the Hebrew, tom, it means moral soundness, upright, being honest, being truthful. Integrity is saying what you will do, what you say you're going to do. And I think keeping a promise is a holy thing. And my greatest concern today is how easy it is to compromise our integrity. I think Satan's worked pretty hard in the whole area of technology. It only takes a young man or a person less than 3 minutes to become addicted to pornography. 3 minutes. And it's an addiction like heroin. It's like, boy, you can get it on your phone. But when you really have a sense of love for God, and you're born again, your integrity, you go, no, I'm not going there. You can't forget who we are. David says, in my integrity, you uphold me and set me in your presence forever. We're meant to be honest people. See, and you're going to have to be careful, because as our culture erodes just a little bit, you're going to say, well, at least I'm not as bad as so-and-so. Be real careful with that. And you're thinking, boy, I bet you times were better. Let me just tell you, in the first century, it was one of the toughest times to live as a Christian. They were hanging our brothers and sisters upside down on the Roman road and crucifying them for their belief in Jesus. And they also fed us to the lions for our beliefs. So, you know, you'd like to go back in time? I don't think so, you know. But this is our time to be the person that's right, to not cheat in school, to be honest in everything that you do. How about pay your taxes? Come on now, you're meddling, okay? No, my wife keeps me on the straight and narrow. Sometimes I think, well, maybe we just, no, okay, yeah, we got to be right. We got to live right. It says, Proverbs 27, the righteous man leads a blameless life. Blessed are his children after him. I believe the Lord's coming again. I truly do. And we just want to be ready, don't we? We want to be ready personally. I think today's the day where the Holy Spirit asked him just to be released in my life first. You know, Lord, look at me. Shine that light into my heart. Am I an honest, upright man? Because it's important, you know. God loves honesty. You know, one of the reasons I even follow God is because he doesn't lie. I lived in the streets. I was a bad boy. I used to carry a shotgun in my car because I was so insecure. And when you live like that, you're not honest. But when I got saved, even though I had a grandfather like that, I had to make some decisions. How am I going to live? And how about us? Are we integrous people? Because this is what our world needs more than anything, isn't it? Is people of integrity. Any Marines in here? Any at all? Ooh, yeah, come on. I love the statement. It says, Semper Fidelis, the promise to be always faithful. Come on. We're going to be faithful people all the way to the end, aren't we? That's such a good thing, always to be faithful. Are you known to be an honest, upright person, to be a person of integrity? I think the most redeeming quality about us is that we're honest. You can always say, yes, Pastor Julian is honest. Micah is honest. You say, well, he has to be. He's a cop. No, he could be shady. I don't think so. I know his father, his mother, all his family. They're upright people. So I just want us to think, because I want to hand this baton to somebody just to, in your life, I want you to lead with integrity all your days and pass it on. Amen. God is good, huh? The next baton we want to look at today is a strong work ethic. And to me, I can't appreciate my dad enough. My dad was a tough old bird. He was from Vermont, too, like my grandfather. And when my father was 8 years old, he worked in a marble quarry. He had to quit school about three times to support the family. But he just was a hardworking guy. He said, working hard is what a man does. It's just what he does. I just always appreciated what he passed on to me. Because I remember when I wanted to borrow some money from my father. This is good. You'll like this. He looked at me and he says, hey, son, is there anything wrong with you? He said, I don't see no broken bones. I don't see that you're crippled. I ain't lending you no money. I thought, man, that's tough. But you know what? I always had to work for it. You know what I'm saying? He gave me this one statement. Maybe some of your parents or fathers. He said, Robert, the early bird catches the worm. Kills my wife because I like to be early everywhere. And she just kind of takes her time, you know. She gets there when she wants to get there. I said, come on, woman. We got to get there. You know what I'm saying? And I hate that when we have to take two cars. That doesn't make us look good. But no, she, you know, yeah, it's all good. I hate sleeping on that couch, too. Anyhow, in Genesis 3:19, this is the word of the Lord. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food. Amazing, huh? That came from the curse. When they made the mistake, God said, you'll have to work. And Proverbs 12:11 says, he who works his land will have abundant food, but he who chases fantasy lacks judgment. I've chased a few fantasies in my life that get rich quick. It don't happen lately. You got to work hard. And I love this next verse, Colossians 3:23. This is a life-changing verse for me. It says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as you're working for the Lord, not for men, since you know you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. Can you even imagine what you can inherit from God? It is the Lord Christ who you are serving. I did quite a few jobs growing up. One of the jobs I worked was for Southwest Gas in Las Vegas. And I was on the construction team, and they had me on the jackhammer. And we have to go through 18 inches of asphalt, and that's a long ways. Dig these big holes. And I remember, I just started copping an attitude because I had to wear a khaki uniform. It was 110 degrees outside. But not the only thing. I was a brand new Christian, and I worked with two other men. And inside of a cab, when we'd have to wait for materials, these two guys would open their Playboys and start to look at it and begin to mock me. I was newly married to my beautiful wife, and it was just bad. I was coming out of being a pornographer when I was young. God was renewing my mind and setting me free. And then I just started developing an attitude that I didn't even want to go to work anymore. And then I came upon this verse in my devotions before I went to work one morning. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as you're working for the Lord. That has changed my life to this day. I never watched the clock because I'm doing it for God. Yeah, man, it just totally transformed me. Now my days and hours go by so quick, we can't even get all the work done that we'd like to get done. It's amazing, your attitude, isn't it? Everything you do for the Lord, even setting up at 7 o'clock, man, come on. We all need an attitude check every once in a while. Especially if you went to bed a little late last night. So the work ethic. To me, this is really important to have a good one. Can I pass this to you, that you have a good work ethic all your days? Come on, partner. Yeah. Yes, they'll know you. Yeah. God gave us all the things that we could do. The other thing I want to look at is loyalty. And this is another attribute that I learned from my father. And we'll go to the next slide. Even when times got really tough in the marriage, my sister and I would beg my dad to leave my mother. And what was interesting about that was my mother was an alcoholic for 33 years and a pill popper. And she abused us. And it was tough. It was a tough life. And I remember when I was 16 years old, I went to my dad, and I said, Dad, you need to dump Mom. You need to get rid of her. We're dying out here. And he just looked at me, and he said, Son, I made a vow to God and to your mother. And I'm so glad he hung with him, because I end up being able to lead my mother to Jesus and my dad. Wow. You know? And yet my dad was loyal. He wasn't giving up on her. And I think that we need to be thinking about that a little bit in some of our own marriages. Because the devil pits us against one another. You know what I'm saying? These are stressful times we're living in. Let's not make each other the enemy. And I love the verse in Proverbs 26. Many a man proclaims his own loyalty, but who can find a trustworthy man or a woman? Who can find, you know? Are you a loyal person? Do people know you as being loyal? That's amazing. Who were we loyal to? How about our God? Putting him first. How about our spouse if we're married? Or our family? I got some knotheads in my family. Huh? Yeah. I think those are your kids then. But, you know, it hasn't been no cakewalk with all four of those kids. But we're dedicated to our kids and our grandkids. How about our pastor? Are we loyal to our pastor? Are we loyal to this church family? You know how good you have it? You got each other. One of the greatest transitions that we had, we pastored 30 years before we came and did what we did. We lost our own church, the last one we planted. So good to have each other. Even when you make each other mad, it's okay. You're family. Be loyal to each other. One thing I loved about my father, he was never a complainer or a grumbler. He would say, if you don't have anything good to say, just don't say it at all. Wow. Those are good words, aren't they? And I love this last verse. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Can I tell you, family? That's just basic Christianity. You know, that's why I love police officers. I was a chaplain for 11 years because they were really doing it. And military officers and people, firemen. This should just be us. We should love each other so much that I'd be ready to lay my life down for my sister. That's Jesus gave himself for the body of Christ, right? That we'd be loyal. Dear God, help us today to be a people of tremendous loyalty to one another. Sister, I want to hand this on to you because I know you're that already, but I want you to keep it up. Keep mentoring. Keep working, all right? Bless you for that. Hallelujah. Loyalty. Make me loyal, God. All my days that I'm on this earth. The next baton that we want to look at is powerful. It's the agape. And this is unconditional love. This is a powerful baton. This is what changes the world. This is what changes our work, our families. This is what changes communities. This is what marks us differently from anybody else. This next slide is, this is the man who modeled that. And he says, I love you just the way you are. And our pastor in the first church I was in the ghetto in Las Vegas. It was on 9th and Ogden. We used to meet in an Oddfellows hall. And man, it stunk. The night before, they're drinking and partying. And my pastor would take an aerosol can and go down there and just try to make it smell better, and never did. And he was a Greek scholar. Man, he knew his Bible. But you know what he did that impacted me the most? Is he just loved sinners. We had people who were ex-cons in our church. We had homeless. And it was amazing. Everybody was the same. That church was so safe. I couldn't wait to get there. I'd sit in there and just breathe easy because our pastor loved us unconditionally. He was quite a character, though. I remember I used to test his love because in the early days, I was a martial artist, and, you know, he told me, Robert, you teach me the martial arts, and I'll teach you the Bible. Couldn't figure out. He didn't care. He just wanted to get next to me. But I remember one day, you know, I was pretty moody, and you know how us drug addicts are. We got these problems in our head. So I decided, even though I was free, I was still recovering, that I wasn't going to go to church. I just wasn't going to go. So I didn't go. And after church, he comes up to my house and knocks on the door. And it's like, oh, man, what's he doing out there? And I come to the door, and he says, are you sick, man? I said, no. He says, well, how come you're not in church? We don't do this. You made a commitment to the Lord and to us. I tell you what, he modeled stuff to me that's in my heart today about learning to love the Lord and the church. Let's look at just a few scriptures. You know what the world desperately needs is unconditional love. We've become so critical because of media. Wow, how critical are we? We can become so critical of each other. You know, we shouldn't be tearing down anybody in the Church of Jesus Christ who are real believers. I don't care if they're Methodists or if they're Baptist or non-denominational. Who cares? It says Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. We were still sinners and Christ died for us. This is what brought me to Jesus. That he died for someone so wicked as me. That changes everything. And that love's in us. When we ask him to come inside of us, he lives there. Because I hated everybody, myself, my family, everybody. But when I was born again, God taught me how to love others. How about this other verse? But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our sins. It's by grace that you are saved. Do you know that unconditional love transforms people? My self-esteem was so far gone because of what I had done to myself. Drugs are destructive. They take away any kind of sense of moving forward. One of the greatest things I did was marry this lady. Her name is Goody Two Shoes, and I'm Robert the Roughneck. And what happened is when I met her, for 2 weeks when I was courting her, and by the way, if you remember, when she said I had to court her, I thought, man, the only thing I know about court is going to court. And so I had to go home and look up in my dictionary what court meant. This is one proper lady right here. But I've been living a lie for 2 weeks. I was so enjoying being with her because she was really a woman, a lady. I had to tell her about my life, that I was a gangster, I was no good, I was a womanizer, she knew nothing about that. I was divorced. I owed money to the syndicate. And so I took 2.5 hours and two tears just rolled down her cheeks. And she goes, Robert, that's under the blood. That's the old man. Phew, I snagged her quick. I proposed 2 weeks later. We've been married 34 years this June. Come on. Because unconditional love changes us. You loving her, her loving you. You know, it just changes. How about that person on the job, especially the gnarly one? Ask God to love them. You're saying, are you crazy? It's not my way, it's God's way. That's what changes the world. You know, the safest place in this community should be Renaissance because the people love each other and one another. I know you love each other, but let's do it more, okay? So, the agape. Man, this is a hot one right here. Man, who should I give this to? I think I'll give it to my sister. She's already got it, but I want her to mentor others and pass it on. And he needs all the help he can get over there. Amen. You know what I'm saying? How good is our God? Everything he asks us to do, we can do. The next one I want to look at might seem, pretty basic, but I think that's what we need today is the basics in our faith, is servanthood and humility. And I learned this from a pastor I served with, and this is Pastor Michael Gebhardt. It says, humility and dependence on God are the keys to serving people. He was 70 when I met him, and we had a church that we went through a real hard time financially, so he had to set tables up and tear tables down and all these at 70. And I was afraid, you know, but he was actually stronger than I was. And the other thing I loved about him was how he listened. The man was powerful in how he listened. Because I remember when I was going through hard times, my mother first came to him in the church. He listened to everything I said, and the next week repeated, how's your mother? I've been praying for her, Robert. He wasn't looking at his watch or looking over his shoulder or looking at the door. When he was in your presence, he was with you. Kind of like maybe God would be, huh? Just learning to listen. We could be good servants listening. People hurting today. We got more people on drugs that are being given to people because they hurt so bad. Nobody wants to listen, even with all our technology. Shoot, we're not going to talk to nobody on the phone. I'm going to text them. You know, I'm going to send them an email. Forget talking to them. Might get too involved, take up too much of my time. We need to be careful with that. You know what I'm saying? We're social beings. We're meant to be relational. We're meant to have connections. You know, if I was the devil, you'd never talk to nobody. You'd go in your car and hit your little thing, your door would go down, and, you know, you wouldn't talk to anybody. You might text them, make that text as short as possible, you know. They better not misunderstand. It'll be their fault. You know, now if you don't text somebody, they're wondering what's wrong with you if you're not there within the next 35 seconds. But I like the verses that come along with this because this is who we're supposed to be, servants. Wow, that doesn't sound real comfortable. It says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who began in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. You know, that's really an attitude that we have in being a servant. Because we love to be served. You ask my wife. We're from Vegas, okay? Come on, give us a break. It's our home. Vegas, they have the best food. And so when we sit down at the table, we can almost wait just seconds until the waitress gets there, you know? And they better be getting there because I'm thirsty and I want something now. Now, I know none of you are like that. God's still working on me. But then, you know, once they get there in Vegas, they come back over and over. Well, you know how laid back you Californians are. It's like, hey, man, you get there when you want to. And so, really, am I really a servant? Are you? Do you serve your husband or your wife or your friends? You think, man, I don't want to be word, being somebody's servant. Our God was God, and he was a servant, wasn't he? How about Ephesians 6:7? Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. Oh, God, you need to work on my heart in making me the servant. I want you to really help me, Lord, because our world would be a better place if we were serving each other, wouldn't it? Even if people don't treat us well, it's just a good thing. So, sister, keep it up. Huh? Servanthood. That whole row can use it. But I think it's a good thing is that we just be like Jesus and learn to be servants. The next baton I want to look at, don't worry, I've only got about 22 or 3 of them, so, you know. They told me I could preach as long as I wanted to, so, you know, I need this. Anyhow, this next baton is called endurance. Probably if we never needed endurance, it's right now. And endurance means just to persevere, to see it through. Hello, meeting in the school. Do you know that we used to have a building, Pastor, and now we're in a school? What's up with that? I don't know. Here's where you are. It is what it is, you know, and you just make the best of it. But perseverance is something that needs to be in our soul to make it to the end. Hear me. We need God's perseverance. And it's like steel in your backbone. But the person who influenced me most here was my wife's father. This is Harry C. Reimer. He says, you have to have faith. God will provide. My father-in-law was in the Mennonite church. He got excommunicated for the belief in the Spirit. But then he got a call from God to go to the American Indians outside of Las Vegas. 50 miles north are the Paiutes. You can't even see the reservation from the road. You know, our God doesn't leave anybody out. He took dad and mom and 9 kids all the way from Enid, Oklahoma to that reservation. Dad started planted a church preaching under a tamarisk tree. To those Indians. The witch doctor's wife is the first one that got saved. And man, she had influence. You know how those women are. Anyway, and she got wonderfully saved, and they started meeting in her house. And they built a church out there. They were there 26 years. We were married on that reservation. And just dad, you know, through my whole life, I might weep. When times got hard, you know, it's not easy. Ministering to American Indians. I'm part Iroquois Indian. But they loved those Indians. They just loved them. From there, dad and mom went up to Reno to the Paiutes and were there 17 years and started another church. But dad was just a steady Eddie, man, just loving people. Do you know that he never took a dime in 40 years of ministry? Not one penny, not one dime. I never did ask him. I wanted to, but I don't know if that was the way he was raised. He worked a full-time job and raised his kids. He'd get up from 2 to 4 in the morning and pray and meditate on the scriptures. Wow. Yo, thank you for your daddy. Her mom's still alive. She's 91. And she has her own iPad, her own phone, and her computer. Because you think with 91, how many kids and grandkids, and she knows where everybody is. She could be at the epicenter of a police station. Endurance. Let's look at what the scriptures say. Because folks, hear me, I'm speaking prophetically now. You need to be a person of endurance. Your faith is going to be worked on if it's not worked on already. Look what it says, 2 Timothy 2:3 and 10 to 12. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. If we endure, we'll also reign with him. I want to reign with the Lord, you know? But we can't compromise in that endurance. We got to stay strong, right? How about Hebrews 10, 35 through 36? Ooh, I got to hurry up. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you'll receive what he has promised. Endurance. I want to pray a prayer of endurance over all of us in these days. Amen? Amen. We need God's endurance more than we've ever needed it before. So, hey, brother, I'm going to hand this to you. Will you endure?
Yes, sir.
Carry that faith and pass it on to many others? Hallelujah. I appreciate that. Let's look at another baton. There's only two more. Thank God, huh? Anyway, this next one might seem simple, but I realize we need to have probably a new baptism in this, is biblical leadership. A lot of stuff is talked about leadership, but what we really need in the world are biblical leaders. And I learned a lot. I was able to go to school. I was very fortunate. The devil told me that, you know, I was stupid and would never amount to anything. And my mother kind of reinforced that, said, I wish you were never born and all those things. That has a little effect on your head, right? But when I got born again, God, through these people, said he's going to do great things in you and through you. I was able to go to Bible college and do well, and I was able to go to seminary. I have a master's in leadership training and a cross-cultural perspective. You're talking about blessed. Man, I've been to Africa. I've been to India, all over Asia, preaching the gospel. Because God gave me a hunger for biblical leadership. Because I've been showing you verses. You can forget everything else I've said today. Don't forget the word. The word is eternal. It has power. You know what I'm saying? It changes lives. So the person that influenced me here was this man, Dr. Bobby Clinton. He says, leadership is a lifetime of lessons. He was the one that started the leadership department at Fuller Seminary where I went. He was such a humble man. I almost thought he was homeless the first time I saw him. He was poorly dressed. He had a frumpled collar. And here he had a PhD in biblical studies. And he carried this little bag. It said Pan Am. I thought, man, I wonder where he got that. But he had these two shoe boxes. And it had pieces of paper this big with Bible verses on each side. He'd memorized every single one of those Bible verses. And he wasn't about me, but it was about Jesus. It was about the love for God's word. And I thought, man, I want to be like him. And so I have a hunger for God's word. It's more important every day when I arise, when I in the morning, I got my time with God. I read that Bible. I read three chapters. My wife does the same. That just helps me calibrate my day. Helps me to get ready for what's coming ahead. Young people, learn the word. Get it in your soul because you're going to need it. We all need it. Let's look at just a few verses, and you'll be interested in my equation. Matthew 20, 25, 28, Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be a servant. What happened here? Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life some ransom for many. We got a typo on there, don't we? Yeah, it's okay. So really, a real biblical leader is someone who is a servant again. Wow, it comes back to that, doesn't it? But I want to ask you for a new commitment, maybe 10 minutes a day, where you just really begin to study the Word of God like never before. Because it's amazing, you know, in John 14 it says the Holy Spirit will come and He'll teach you everything that you need to know. It's absolutely amazing that we, when we're born again, we're filled with the Spirit, that God sends the Holy Spirit to teach us everything that we need to know. Brother, will you be that biblical leader? Come on. Go for it. Pass it on to others. We're almost done. We get to tear down again. Praise God. Servants and slaves. The last baton is just a powerful one for Finita and I. Because when I think about it, encouragement is how all of us got here through somebody. And all of us can encourage people. People are heavy today with just the weight of the world. You know, the stresses and pressures are really there. You're all living in them every day, whether you're going to school or whatever you're doing. And I just want to pray that all of us would become better encouragers in what we do. And this person here that we're going to look at is just absolutely amazing. This is Dr. Jack Rozelle. We want to pray for his wife, Adele. She just had some back surgery. She's not doing well. But he came to me when I was pastoring a church in Turlock, and it was a tough place. And I really wanted to throw the towel in. You know, it was an old church, about 80 years old, and I'm from Vegas. Man, what am I doing in the valley? And God probably sent me there as a boy. When I left, I was a man because I really needed God. But the fact, he came down when I was about, you know, in my midlife, and he said to me, he goes, you know, Robert, tell me about yourself. And I have dedicated my whole life into discipleship and mentoring and coaching. I've read everything. I've studied. I use it. I've mentored at least 15 men a year for 30 years. Isn't that powerful, man? Just think about the friends I have. Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples. So, but what happened is he saw something in me that yet wasn't realized. And he brought a man with him, very tall man. He was a retired military general, and he was a doctor. And you could see they were good buddies, back and forth. And they took me to lunch, and the general leaned over to Jack and said, this is the man. He said, be quiet. They said that about four or five times. I thought, man, what's wrong with these guys? I didn't know them that well. 2 weeks later, Jack said, listen, I'd like you to go to Bangkok, Thailand, and train 86 world-class missionaries there in the leadership training. I thought, the drug addict from Vegas is going to Bangkok? You know what I did? I said, sir, do you have the right person? I really thought he had the wrong person, but God didn't. This man was a Barnabas. You know who Barnabas was in the Bible? You know, if it wasn't for Barnabas, there probably wouldn't be an Apostle Paul. He put his reputation on the line for him. Are we willing to believe in people and go the extra miles and care for them? Because you know what I believe? There's greatness in every human being because they're made in the image of God. We have the ability to encourage people wonderfully in this life. Let's just look at what the Bible says. Hebrews 3:13, but encourage one another daily as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Man, I hope you're calling each other every day. Because isn't this like a marathon, this faith? And then he says, Philippians 1:6, be confident in this, that he who began a good work in you, come on, what? He will carry it on to completion till the day of Christ Jesus. He's not done, partner. Amen. He's got lots to do yet, huh? And then I love this one. This is kind of like my mission statement, this next one. May our Lord Jesus himself, Jesus Christ himself, and God our Father who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good word and deed. Deed and word. Wow. Encouragement. Can you do it? Can you encourage people? Worship team, if we just come and play a little. Thank you, Paul, for who you are. And then the last one I want to just kind of share. Well, I better give this one away, huh? Encouragement. Gosh, who's going to be a good encourager for me? I think you're the one. Come on. Will you do that? Will you encourage others? How old are you? 15. You're in school, huh? Man, a lot of people hurting, aren't they? You'd be a good encourager.
Thank you.
Bless God. Yeah. My last slide here is just a question. What baton are you passing? Hebrews 13, 7 and 8, remember your leaders. I talked about all my leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Church, will you stand with me? Let's just kind of pray a little bit. Even though our world is going a little south and things seem fuzzy, God lays out clearly for us on how we're to live, huh? We're to be people of integrity. We're supposed to be hard and competent workers. We're to be loyal to God and to each other and to love people unconditionally. Lord, I pray, release this in all of us today. To be servants, to endure and persevere. And God needs biblical leaders today who follow him and serve others and to encourage others on the journey of life. Help people in the way you are able. Bow with me as we pray.